5:31 on Monday, June 5th, 2023. I'd like to call to order a regularly scheduled meeting of the Monclova Township Board of Trustees. If we please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Thank you for joining us tonight. Before we get to, are there any additions and or adjustments to our current agenda that was sent out last week?
I don't see any.
All right. Then I'll make a motion that we silence cell phones. I'll make a motion that we dispense with the reading of the minutes from our May 15th meeting and the special meeting of May 30th, 2023.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Here.
Vickery.
Herschel.
Yes.
Vickery.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes.
It's early.
Two names together.
Vickery, I like that. They can just both say yes. All right. Pay the bills.
Right.
I make a motion to approve the bills as presented by the fiscal officer totaling $266,266.37.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes. And then, Gavin, do we have any correspondence since our last meeting?
No correspondence today.
All right. And then you got one action item here in your agenda.
Yeah, just need to transfer some money from our operating account to Star Ohio.
So I move to approve the transfer of $1 million from our Signature Bank operating account to Star Ohio.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Which is now, I believe, 5.2%. So.
Yeah.
All right. All right. We got a, under old business, we discussed during in our working session, we are in the process of developing, would be a first for Lucas County, a residential TIF, which is tax increment financing, a partnership. This is involving the 150 plus or minus acres on Stitt Road between the township, Lucas County, and the owners of the property for improvements there. Attorney Sanderson has a draft agreement that is being forwarded to the partners for review. There's still some information we got to figure out as far as a when the revaluations come in, how the money comes back into the partners. Our attorney is recommending a pro rata share, but some of that is all negotiable on that. So that is being worked on, and hopefully we'll be put to bed here soon. Harold, there's no news under park improvements, correct? Other than the fitness rack has been installed. The
fitness rack has been installed.
And thank you to the folks at Monclova Road Baptism for, or Baptist Church for their generous donation to underwrite that. And then, Harold, you have the administration, fire department, building updates. You said you got a, in your report, there's a mention of that?
Yes. Excuse me. We had a proposal from Mullen Wheatman Architects for development of concept drawings for renovation project in the fire station. I have reached out to Redstone Architects Incorporated in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. They also specialize in fire stations, and I've received a portfolio of some of their recent projects, and I did a telephone interview with Daniel Redstone, and that's pretty much where that project stands at the moment. Was asked to come up with a proposed budget, and basically both of these architectural firms have indicated that's the purpose of doing the concept drawings so we can develop a budget.
Okay. Any questions of Ms. Reed on that?
I think you would like to go a different route, as you mentioned in the working session.
Well, we, going to potentially Keith Mahalski of KCS Contracting in Holland, who is a commercial contractor, has agreed to come on site and just kind of talk to us about what our plans are, and not a formal quote, but kind of give us a ballpark number on some of the things that we're discussing as far as expansion of the dormitories over there, addition of some offices in the training room, a couple of restrooms for the park on the outside, and then a, for lack of a better word, locker room, so the turnout gear can be stored in a separate area that's not contaminated by diesel fumes and some of that. So he said he could come out potentially next Thursday or Friday, so at least he'll give us more of a budgetary number, ballpark number of what we're looking at.
Sounds like how we started the process. Mm-hmm. And then you brought the architect in from Columbus, so going back to the way we started seems fine. I don't know that you'll get the expertise of people that design fire departments all the time, but I'm absolutely willing to listen to what he has to say.
Okay. All right, then we also discussed the JEDD addition in the working session. Attorney Sanderson has received the petition back from the commercial property there on Strayer Road. She'll be working on a motion or a resolution that will be forwarding to our partners for approval at each of those respective bodies as well. So hopefully we'll have action on that at our next meeting. All right. Then under old business, we have also our solar field moratorium that we put in place at our last meeting. And Eric, have you been an opportunity to gather any information on this currently?
I have, yeah. Myself and the law director are working on, there's like model language that the OTA has put together, and we're working on tweaking that. We were actually worked on it today a little bit. We're working on tweaking it for Monclova Township, because you have to make sure everything makes sense. It lines up with our landscaping regulations, that it, how are we going to deal with residential versus commercial versus small projects versus big projects, rooftop versus, you know, ground mounted. So we're already working on it.
Okay. And I know some of this was concerned because there was a couple of larger parcels that were acquired by an electrical company in the western portion of the township. What do you think timeline you might have as far as you think a recommendation to us would buy?
I think in the next few weeks we could have a draft probably ready to send to the Planning Commission in the next few weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, I asked you to put this on the agenda, Chuck, because we greatly affected a leader in our community, a company that sits in the CETA and the JEDS, Dana. They had talked to Monclova Township about the project for over a year, and they were working through a variety of regulations and also working with us, trying to help us understand what solar fields could mean to Monclova Township. They had to work with First Energy. There's just a lot of work that goes into developing such a plan, and I think they could be a great partner with us, making sure our resolution was the best it could be. This project is a linchpin project for them. They are reducing, first of all, they're a tier one supplier, so they're graded by other people that buy their product, and the people that supply them, and they are important to that Jed's area because people want to work in that area to be with that tier one supplier. And this project is going to reduce their use of energy by 75%, and they're recognized as one of the leaders in climate commitments. They're recognized as one of the world's most ethical companies. They're being recognized by US Today as an America climate leader. And I think it would be a real shame that within 36 hours, three Monclova trustees saying yes to something that's meant to do really good work for our township slows this project to the point where they can't get it done in the time they need to get it done. Because though we might have language in 3 or 4 weeks to review, going to the Planning Commission is a 6-month process. So we're asking them to sit there for a year, and that's not going to be acceptable to Dana. It's not acceptable to me. If we would have waited until this meeting to pass the resolution, their application would have been in and been approved. So,
can I ask a question? Because I talked to Jeff also, but I'd like, if it's possible, can Eric explain some of the timeline of what was going on with the solar panels and when it started and what happened and that kind of stuff? I'd like to know, you know, the background as far as what they did to communicate with the township.
Yeah, I can explain some of the timeline. So it was, they'd originally come to the township some time ago. It was probably, I'd have to look, but probably a year and a half ago or something like that. They were doing some preliminary work, and then I hadn't heard anything else from them. And then they started coming back to the township in mid-April is when they started coming back.
This year or last year?
This year,
okay,
is when they started coming back, yeah. And so that would be when they started coming back with their updated ideas.
So there was no communication between the original preliminary and this April?
I would have to look and see exactly when the date was, but yeah, it was a while ago. We talked, and then I hadn't heard anything for a while, and then they came back in the spring.
So there was nothing in the reports that you presented in any of your zoning updates concerning solar?
There was never an application. I mean, I talked to lots of people about lots of things, and not everything gets in my report. It'd be 30 pages long. I mean, I try to, you know, violations get in the reports, you know, but not every conversation. People ask me about all sorts of things, and not everything is in the report. I mean, but yeah, it was, you know, some time ago they got a certain distance along, things got quiet, and then it came back later.
But the
in spring.
Communication was before we made this resolution at the last meeting.
The communication was, but no application.
But
application
there
was after.
Communication going.
Yes.
So the only thing I was thinking when we did that resolution, it should have maybe been brought to our attention that maybe Dana was in the process of talking and doing different stuff to acquire what they needed to acquire.
Well, I wasn't part of the resolution discussion, but in terms of communication, like I said, it started with back in April of this year, so for the current project, and then where we are now.
Well, and Eric, and I guess going back from our discussions here, that kind of how this showed up on our radar is that a couple of larger parcels in the western portion of the township were acquired by an electrical company.
Right.
So we had concerns at that time. I think we started asking you to start tracking large parcel transfers.
Yep.
And I guess in my view, the moratorium was kind of developing out of that, not specifically, you know, with or against Dana or the parcel that they acquired, 10.5 or whatever acres is over there off of North Jerome.
And you said they acquired that 3 weeks ago?
I think when the closing was, 3 or 4, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure when the closing would have been.
Is there somebody here to speak on that behalf?
Yeah. It's not yours, yeah.
No. No.
Jeff Cole is here in the audience, yeah. You on the closing on that was Jeff on the land.
January was the closing on the land. I don't know the specific date. January.
Wait to
the end of the meeting.
So I, and maybe Chuck wants to break with our normal tradition and let Dana.
Some of the audience says they're having a hard time hearing you.
Oh.
Not in the audience, I mean online.
Really?
Yeah.
Barbara can't be heard?
Mm-hmm.
My family will be shocked.
Well, I just got a little message from somebody who's listening. They said Barbara needs to speak up.
I wonder why it's not picking me up. So,
back up here. So, Eric, when you said if you and our law director were able to come up with a guideline or policy recommendation to the Plan Commission in less than 30 days.
Yeah.
What would that, walk us through that process then?
Then we would, so the trustees would do a motion, pass a resolution to send it over to the Planning Commission. Planning Commission staff would write a staff report. It'd go in front of the Planning Commission. Then the Planning Commissioners would vote on that proposal, whether to recommend approval of that text change or not. Then it comes back to our Zoning Commission, and they would do the same thing, vote whether to recommend approval on the text change or not. And then it goes to the Board of Trustees for final discussion. And that's 4.5 to 5 months is normal for that.
Right.
What's that parcel zone right now?
I believe it's M1. I'd have to double check. But
so there isn't anything right now that's zoning concerning, we're working on that concerning solar?
We don't have anything. We have stuff for wind. We have nothing specific for solar.
So if we didn't have this moratorium in place and the application came forward, would solar fit in M1?
It's,
or would there be some issue there as well?
It would have to be reviewed. It's not something by right that's in our code right now. I mean, that's something
that
it would have to be worked
on.
Out. Yeah, it's not in there by right.
Right. Again, I go back to Dana being a important part of the Monclova commercial community. I know this land isn't part of where they can expand. They would expand in other locations, so we're not losing employees. I think either rescinding the motion, the resolution we made at our last meeting, accepting their application, and reestablishing a moratorium later would help us improve what we're going to put out as a product, because we'll be able to work with a leader in the industry. And though I respect the OTA immensely, I think working with the people that are doing the job that need it to make a difference in our world could be extremely helpful. So I have no problem moving forward. I do not want willy-nilly solar. I don't want anything you mentioned in the working session, Chuck. I also want to help Dana accomplish what should be accomplished. So the easiest way in my mind to do that is to rescind the solar field moratorium. Is that what it's called, Eric?
It'd be a moratorium.
Did last year.
I can tell you what it is.
To rescind, it's right here. I didn't write down
the
number. Shoot. It's the resolution of a moratorium on the establishment of a solar power facility and operations within Monclova Township.
Yeah.
And I would expect to reestablish that, shortly thereafter.
Since they do have representatives here and they've taken the time, would you like to have them come up like now, or do you want to wait to the end of the meeting?
No, that's fine. Jeff, if you're willing.
Yes, certainly.
Yes. Jeff, you'll probably do a better job of representing yourself than me, and hopefully whoever Trudy's getting texts from could hear me say that.
I've come with moral support, too, so I may ask
our Monclova residents sitting there.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you. Where would you like me to start, I guess?
Well, parcel land, when this all started, I mean, where is it like located compared to your buildings? Is it something that you might eventually add employees into this? You know, I heard it was actually like deadlocked.
Yeah, it is landlocked.
Landlocked.
Land, and two friends from GEM Energy are here, as well as Greg Morris, who's our director of sustainability globally. But if you drive by our campus on Technology Drive, you see the world headquarters. To the north of that is the Sustainable Mobility Center. Opposite that, actually in the township, is the Advanced Manufacturing Center. So the property would be to the south of the headquarters, immediately adjacent. There's not a lot of room there. Row of, I don't know what it's by 40 foot wide, and then a row of pine trees. There's an old billboard. It would be just to this side of that billboard, 10 acres, and a square 10 acres, right? So if the way our building is constructed, that south wall is a main thoroughfare for the companies. We would never expand in that direction. We could possibly expand to the east, to the north, but we would not expand to the south. That's a landlocked parcel. There's four very narrow parcels that go from Mount Clover Road up to our headquarters, and we have 10 acres of one of those parcels dedicated to this project. So, the conversations go back to March of 22, with Mr. Wagner. I don't know Mr. Wagner, so.
Oh, nice to meet you.
What I've seen, and Greg might, have more to say, our representatives from Program Solutions Group and from GEM have had conversations with Mr. Wagner about, here's what we want to do. He's asked questions about setback provisions, landscaping, the height of the solar panels, things like that. We've worked very closely with him to answer those, to allay any concerns. We thought we were on the right path. Then, of course, there's this whole process of working with First Energy, which is where, maybe there wasn't a lot of give and take. But I thought we were, going back to March, April, May of 2022, where I thought we were in good stead with the township. And, everything from where we're going to combine parcels, which ended up not being an issue. And then we're back in, April of this year to say, we're ready to move forward. Are there any other questions you have? Kyle Krupp from GEM was the one that had the correspondence at that point in time. We thought we were ready to go. Kyle emailed Eric on Friday, the week that you approved the moratorium, to say, hey, here's the application, the check, and the design documents. And he said, well, wait a minute. There's a moratorium with no heads up or anything like that. I mean, we would have turned it in the week before had we known that this was going to be an issue. This is a significant project. It will provide almost all the energy we need for that headquarters campus. It will not be sold back to the grid correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but it is solely for the purpose of powering Dana, part of our sustainability objectives that we've announced. And as Trustee Lang said, we were recognized last week by USA Today as one of America's climate leaders, only 400 companies. Newsweek, world's most responsible companies, for the work that we're doing, not only in manufacturing products in the right way, reducing our carbon footprint, but also producing products that enable vehicle electrification. So, winning on both sides. But this is a key project for that campus. And we have been expanding. We're up to over 1,000 employees on that campus. And, within the last couple of years, purchased the Crown building as they move to another facility that's even larger within the township. So we've added employment there. The other day, we had a vacancy in my department, and I was told, move what you need to out of that cubicle because it's the last cubicle in the building that's available for this intern. You know, and it's only but that's just an illustrative example of we are growing. And Trustee Lang mentioned, you know, as a tier one supplier, we are graded by our customers on our ESG objectives. Just this week, ISS, or last week, Institutional Shareholder Services, which is the imprimatur for how are you doing on your ESG objectives, rated us a 1 on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being best in environmental, social, and governance, all three categories. These are the types of products that get us that type of recognition, projects that get us this type of recognition. So it is critically important to us. We were hoping this array would be up and running and functional by the end of the year, right? Is that the timeline, I think? Yeah. Right about there? Yeah, the contractors always hatch. Okay, the chairman told me by the end of the year, the contractor's like, yeah, maybe, but, you know. So it is a critically important project for us. And, understanding we may still have to go to the... I think what we're looking for is a special use permit. Is that
or conditional. Were you thinking conditional? Is that what you were? We don't do special uses anymore.
Yeah, please.
You want to stand up and introduce yourself, though?
Yeah, this is Jason Slatter from GEM Energy.
GEM Energy. As Jeff said, we're about a week away from making the application for zoning. What's typical for zoning is the ordinances don't accommodate solar. That's typical everywhere we go. It's customary a special use permit is granted. So that gives us whatever classification the parcel is today, the special use would basically grant for the life of that project what that intended use, in this case a solar array, would be granted, so the surrounding perimeter wouldn't be encompassed by, you know, whatever change in zoning classification it is. The other couple comments, Jeff did a good job overviewing, but we've been working on this for a long time. As he said, we've had dialogue. What our initial dialogue is, we just wanted to kind of understand what the rule book was, because it's important for us to know if there was restrictions or ordinances. We want to follow them, obviously. We're vested in the local community, so unlike some of these larger utility-scale projects that are out blowing solar panels in wide open fields, doing it for the lowest cost, we're trying to make this look good. We're trying to make it offset an important critical factor of Dana's electric load. So we're doing some things design-wise that we feel like is aesthetically pleasing for the local area, kind of tucking it in off the beaten path. We're kind of out of sight, out of mind. We've already spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on the development, and one of our concerns is just with the timing of this. Our fear is it's a very heavy lift working with the utility, and we've got the utility at a point right now where they've accepted our interconnection. And for us to have to start that process over with them, our concern is not just getting it done this year, but the world can change tomorrow with them, and then it could just go away and die in the vine. So that's our concern timing-wise, why we think it's critically important.
And we're also ready to write them a check for $150,000.
Now, GEM is
more
local.
Dollars.
Right.
Yeah.
GEM is local.
More dollars, yeah.
You guys, you're with
we're
GEM.
Part of the Rudolph Libby group.
Right, Rudolph Libby. So you are... within our territory area, you're
right.
A local company. I want to say local. Are you guys in Walbridge?
We're in Walbridge. Kyle lives here in Monclova.
I work here.
We're a division.
As well as a lot of our employees, the physical bodies that will be constructing the project, they're going to be pulled from this immediate region. So.
Okay.
Can I ask, I will move forward with a motion to rescind the moratorium. I don't know what my fellow trustees will do. Can I ask, will you help us when we get that language together for our resolution, our zoning resolution? Will you help us with the solar? Will you look at it? Will you say, hey, this was hard, this makes it look better, this, can we have your input? I already said
absolutely, and I'm speaking with Jeff as well.
I would love to do that, honestly, not to be self-serving on it, but there are things that, from your perspective, you might want to take into account,
right.
And also you need to hear from a constructability perspective, this doesn't make sense kind of thing as well. So I would love to have that dialogue with you guys.
Well, and I guess some questions. So couple things here. So this, and is it 10, 11 acres, whatever the parcel is, it's located in our economic development zone. So statutorily, the township cannot collect an income tax. Now, we do, in that economic development zone, there is an income tax collected that we share with our partners at the City of Maumee and the City of Toledo. So that area up and down Briarfield and Technology does generate some income for the township. To arbitrarily just say, hey, we're taking 11 acres off the table that will produce no jobs is concerning to us. So that's a one concern. We had issues and we're looking at other things with the self-storage unit. Again, I'm going to say those aren't the prime tenants that we would like to see in our economic development zone.
Yeah.
So that is why, like I said, we're basically taking 11 acres of M1 prime property right off the table. That, you know, that economic zone, we don't, it's not going to expand, it's not going to grow, it's set by its definition. So that's of concern to the township.
And that's actually one thing we looked at for this particular parcel. Where it sits is right up next to the Dana substation. So the most logical tenant would be Dana to expand in that area, which they've said they're not.
Right.
The frontage is still available. That's why we said, all right, it makes sense to not utilize the frontage. More high-value business could come into that, and we'll leverage the back parcel that we stranded, essentially.
Right. So it's not arbitrary at all.
So as far as the parcel being landlocked, you would not be aware of it, but the other two parcels immediately to the south and leading to the east of this are currently under contract. There is a development plan in place to access both of those from River Fork Drive, which would touch the south end of this parcel. So accessing both of those with two other manufacturers, the county and regional growth partners are currently working on the development plan. So this parcel may or may not be landlocked. I mean, this deal is still fluid, so that is still going on. So I guess some questions that I may have. So when I think of, like, other, you know, like Owens Corning, you know, they have their solar field in their parking lot. People park under it. They get a nice shade facility that for the cars aren't, you know, 120 degrees. Is that an option for Dana here?
Yeah, we were part of the build of that. Those are good applications for land use. Unfortunately, the elevated steel just adds more cost, so you don't see a lot of it in the area because of the added cost element. Areas of the country that's landlocked from physical footprint or have shading issues where it's really hot and people want to park under it, more so than the Midwest, that's where you start seeing those carport structures more. Owens Corning did it more for, they physically didn't have footprint, so they were either rooftop, which had mechanical units up there, or it was the parking lot, so that's why they decided the parking lot. It was their headquarter location, so they wanted to use that as a flagship image, similar to what Dana wants to use at their headquarter.
So the parking lot is not an option for Dana here?
Just from a cost perspective, it just won't economically pencil. The arrays that we build on the ground are a lot more affordable than the elevated structures are. It's an option. It's just it's a costly option.
Cost option. There's also a practical option of how we utilize our parking lots. We do a lot of road shows where we will bring in, keep in mind, we're not just automotive, but we're commercial vehicle and off-highway. And it's not unusual for us to bring in major equipment into our parking lots where we'll have a customer event or a fair or, you name it, but you know, you will often see Class A trucks or underground mining equipment or forestry or material handling or whatever in our parking lot. Now it would be impractical. You've got maneuverability issues. You know, right now we can cone off the entire lot until no employees are parking in this section of the lot or that section of the lot, because we've got, you know, Chrysler coming in with three Class A vehicles to do an event on all of the different vehicles that we're supplying them. So it's not just a parking lot, it's an event staging lot.
And I understood the issue with the JEDS as the chairman of the JEDS board, that it's limited space and that the income from that board or from that district is very important to us. What I believe through my conversations with Dana is that this solar field will help us grow Dana. It will assure Dana stays where they are, and those 10 acres are being used to the best of their ability, because they can attract who they need to attract to be employees. They can grow in different directions. They've shown us they can grow. So I didn't have a problem. I'm not sure what could go in the 10 acres, and I'm not sure that road is going to happen, but I believe Dana is the winner in bringing us jobs.
Well, I don't know who else is listening on the webcast.
Somebody who can't hear me.
So I probably shouldn't say this because it's embargoed, but Newsweek is also going to recognize us this month as one of America's greatest workplaces.
Yeah, so I'm not worried
those
about
types
the 10 acres.
Of, It's those types of recognition that are bringing jobs to Dana.
To Toledo.
Yeah.
Barb, I'm going to agree with you. Just due to the fact this process has been going on for a long time, even though I think if it would have came to our attention that Dana was looking for this.
Or we would have brought it to their attention.
Their attention that this was going to happen. So you guys have been working on this for a year and a half. I think you guys are a great partner. I go by there. You guys bought the Crown Lift building. Wonderful campus, things like this. Like you said, if you would have known about it, or if we would have known about it, it would have come up into discussion before this would have happened. And like I said, yeah, you found out and then you made the application, but there's a lot of communication back and forth between Dana and Mount Clover Township trustee concerning this project. I don't have a problem working with Dana and having a good partner. And then we do need to get in place, though, something in place.
A moratorium in place.
But this project was going on a long time.
So I think the best way to handle this is to rescind the moratorium resolution, which I'll make a motion to do that. All I can say to Dana is I would assume we would put a moratorium back on the agenda as soon as possible. So you need to get an application.
Yeah, you got it in your hip pocket there.
But also, though, they need to work with Barry. They need to work with
Barry. They're going to have to get a conditional use permit and all that jazz.
Eric and make sure what it's been in place that Eric has explained that Dana follows through with it.
And there's currently a draft of a developmental agreement with the two partners on the parcels to the south and east, the remaining 30 acres and the 40-acre parcels. And extending this road, like I said, there are some, and I'm getting my number 629, like I said, there's money's coming in from the state, the county, the JED is considering it, being a partner in that. Would Dana be interested or consider being part of that developmental agreement to access this parcel from the south?
That's a great ask.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I think our director.
And I wish I'm trying to find the address. I'm trying to pull it up on.
You're writing us a nice check.
And Aries,
right?
And the map. My map isn't loading here.
Yeah, I don't think it's loaded in there. I can't find the individual parcel.
It's showing the parcel is showing in the transfer from St. Luke's, but the map is not loading up on Aries for me on my laptop. That's maybe Kathleen could pull up on the big screen here.
Yeah. There could be a glitch with Aries at the moment.
Yeah.
That happens a lot.
map, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or the aerial. But
do you want to take over my computer and do a search, or Eric, do you want to?
Do you have the address, Chuck?
No, if you just search under Dana, Kathleen, under the owner. I think it's the 3811 technology. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I want you to say to the south.
Yeah.
Down? You down. Mean down?
Down. Down.
Go back through that.
What I've driven the bus there, huh?
Maybe you can explain more, Chuck, what you're hoping.
Further.
I know, it's
if that loads, it should be.
It's sort of,
yeah,
very
nice.
Slow.
Yeah.
So there, yeah, there's
right here?
The 10. There's the 10-acre parcel.
Okay.
Right behind.
So
there.
Yeah, if you, so just
yeah, I had an error when I did that. That's an Aries thing.
Go further south, Eric.
Oh, yeah. Go further south. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let me go back.
Well, the. Pick up the stub of River Ford, will that, or
yes.
Maybe zoom out a little bit.
Should have just plugged in River Ford, but that's fine. Right there.
Yeah. So, River Ford Drive, there's a development plan currently in works that I've seen drawings from one of your competitors, from John, that to extend River Fork through basically to the property line, and then that extends south all the way to Mount Clover Road. There's two companies, one looking at building a 175,000 square foot warehouse space. The other one relocating from another site and expanding here.
So it's yeah. it's essentially this parcel.
Yes.
Here to River Fork.
Yeah.
And what's your ask?
So. The.
Can you show me again the 10 acres you guys are looking at for your solar?
You can just see the bottom line right there.
Right
here.
Is that it right there?
Right there. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So and. I don't know if I can look. I might even have
as you can see, that's about, I mean, there's hardly any, there's a parking lot, and then and there's a thin,
substation.
Yeah, substation here,
mm-hmm.
And then you know, just a few feet. So if we were to expand, you know, we may go this way, we may go to the north, but we're not going this way just because of what's in this part of the building. And the substations there.
So this is a concept drawing. So of bringing the road in,
mm-hmm.
here, acquiring that, there's your 10 acres there. So they're looking at potential, like I said, 10 for here, here, and here.
So here is where they're putting the...
That's the company relocating from
okay.
in the area with about 125 jobs. Yeah.
Okay. But I'm.
But I guess you
what
know
you,
would Dana consider being part of the development agreement for the extension of River Ford Drive? Or is that something?
What I don't know what that means. Being part of the development agreement.
Means writing a check.
No.
Yeah.
Huh. Probably not. But let me ask. I'll ask our facilities person.
I mean, and not. I mean,
that's not my decision to make.
Yeah. And the reason. So I mean, the state of Ohio is contributing. I think the 629 is $400,000. There's a total of about $1.2 million committed already towards the extension of that road. The JDZ that Barbara was referencing is considering with the city of Maumee and Monclova is also participating in that. So there's a little bit of a shortfall.
How much of a shortfall?
About $300,000 currently. And that, as we're looking at, we've asked the property owners if they would consider maybe a concession on it, more in line with the acres per price that you've acquired the 10 acres for. That would close the gap considerably when you're looking at 70 acres times, you know, $2,500 an acre. Like I said, trying to...
Now you know about it. Maybe as you're working on this, something will come to you.
For sure. This is news, and I'm not in a position to make that decision.
Well, one of the beauties about that parcel for Dana is it touches the substation. It's landlocked, touches the substation, so we don't even have to put it.
You mean when you say substation, power plant?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the existing. So a lot of times you have to put an access drive like what they have to put in, but this one, the beauty of it is it's right there.
So where's the, when you say substation?
The substation's right there.
Okay, okay.
And you have the front parcels that you may sell or you may use. You set the front.
Well, Dana didn't buy it.
This here we own. We don't own this or anything. But, you know, there are expansion, you know, what if expansion plans that when the building was first designed, if you want to just scroll here. North.
Okay.
You know, we could go this way or this way if we wanted to expand. Or...
Maybe you could buy the other parcel below your solar panels.
Well, there's that too.
There you go.
Can you just point where the solar panels will be?
They're going to be
this like in
square.
A circle.
Square. It's a square.
Where?
Right. That whole square.
Yep.
And that... Where is the... Okay, you're right. So the...
It's... Right next to the substation.
Yeah, it is completely landlocked, even with River Shore
right here.
So when we look at that, your question about the carports, something like this from a cost perspective is much more economical than the race steel structure parking lot, even though that looks...
What is that?
And our parking lot's about half the size of this, too.
No, that's ODOT.
Oh, that's ODOT.
Oh, no, that's right. You're right. That's the Alamira.
It's Alamir, the furniture building. ODOT's
across the street.
Got it. Okay. I'm going to make the motion to rescind the resolution imposing a moratorium on the establishment of solar panel facilities and operations within Monclova Township. It was 05152023-02.
Seconded
by Vickery on the motion. Herschel.
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Thank you.
Can we, have you submitted your application?
I have it on my desk at home. I can bring it. I can literally go get it now or bring it in tomorrow morning.
Well, and I guess I would just ask our, if board's willing to get your application by the end of the week. You have to go home.
Yep.
Go home and have a nice dinner, but if we put this on the agenda for our next meeting to put it back in place.
Moratorium for solar panels?
Yes.
I don't have a problem putting it back on as long as there's nobody else working on solar panels at the moment, Eric.
There was one out-of-state company. They didn't apply for anything. They asked once.
So,
and
so we're pretty good as far as there's no other
not
ones coming down the road to look at solar panels that may be missing our deadlines?
No, that one company out of state, they never gave an address or anything.
Okay.
And you understand our concerns with our economic development zone, or at least my concerns that...
It's an absolute concern, Chuck. I just weighed Dana versus somebody in that 10 acres that is landlocked, and I came up with Dana as the winner.
Case closed. For now.
Yeah. Could you sell us any excess electricity?
Which is really good.
I think we could, but I don't think there will be.
Yeah. I didn't say give, I said sell. I'm a capitalist.
Yeah. No, I don't believe there will be any excess.
Not on this, but maybe some of the unused areas we can carve it into those other facilities that are coming that may be appealing to them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Glad you came out to help me make this case, so thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right.
You guys can stay for the rest of the meeting, or?
Or you can go, please. So.
It looks like a riveting agenda, but I'm going to.
All right.
Thank you.
Any other old business items? Under new business, welcome back, Matt. Have a restful vacation. Did you leave your phone on?
No.
It's been right. So, Captain Bachelman forwarded a request for upgrading the existing kitchen with some, I should say all of it's not in the kitchen, but some floor fans, an ice machine that we currently do not have, and did you want to touch base on that?
To be honest, when you submitted that for adding to the agenda was the first time I saw it, so I wasn't aware that was a project underway. I don't know if that was...
It's been in the discussion for 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
It's just now coming back up.
As I said, that was the first time I saw it, so I haven't had a chance to get brought up to speed on it. So.
I think three or four of the... Josh Stagner and one of the other went out and got various quotes from Appliance Center at Home Depot. We got a commercial refrigerator, dishwasher, washer, dryer, a range, bottled water cooler, industrial fan, and an ice maker. Totaling, depending upon, let's just say $18,000, which I would just say, is A, there's no ice maker back there currently. There's not an industrial fan. There's not a bottle water cooler. So those would all be new equipment. The range I didn't do it. When I was back to looking at it, I'm guessing it's 20 years plus.
Well, some of that equipment that he was referencing is not township owned. It's owned by the Fires Association. The stove, which was in the old station, was brought over. Some of the racks and the tables in the kitchen area are association owned. I know Chief Bernhard had talked with the firefighters in the past about replacing the stove, but he had talked with them about just having, a typical commercial stove, not a restaurant type stove, put in there.
And I guess and this is where it causes some confusion on my part, and I. The association, the township. I mean, if to me, and this I'm just speaking my opinion, if it's a hard physical asset in this building, it should be a township asset.
Yeah, I think from what I understand,
the association, if it's a iced tea maker, a coffee maker, if you guys want Folgers or some Maxwell House, well, that's, the fire association can pick that up.
I don't see an issue with that, I just from what I know of the past, that the association in the old station, when they were highly active, they did a lot of fundraisers,
right.
Dinners, cooks, those type of things. So they needed the commercial type stove. So they had purchased back then. We transferred it over when we moved into the new building from the old building, and it's been in use ever since then. Though we've only had in the years since then a few dinners, fundraisers with the association. There's no real issue with changing or upgrading. Like I said, I'm not up to speed on that. I apologize, but this was news.
When we did talk about this, the same exact subject came up the last time as well, And we, since then, approved the gifts policy, right? So in the future, if any entity, not just the association, wants to give an item, it would then belong to Montclova Township. So we've corrected the problem for the future, but this still is a problem today. So I also don't know if these products will fit in the spaces that are currently designated. I have absolutely no problem approving an ice maker and a refrigerator and absolutely everything on this list. The process this went through is very atypical. After 15 years of doing this job, never have the trustees brought forward a list of appliances. It goes through the chain of command, and you guys, I'll be happy to say yes, and then when it doesn't fit, or when the plug isn't right, and then when we get the new people to come in and our new contractor look around and say, hey, this should really be dorms and the kitchen should be moved over here, you got to make all this equipment fit because we just invested $20,000 in equipment.
That's why we hire a contractor to make sure that it would happen. And again,
he's talking about the contractor.
A year down the road. So in the meantime, this was brought up 2 or 3 months ago with a fiscal officer. He actually went on that side of the building and looked with the previous chief. And so it's now come where it's now 90 degrees weather. Mm-hmm. I know you guys need to carry ice on the fire trucks. We've got a full-time fire department now, not somebody 12 hours and going home. So this is why this has come back up again through previous chief and with Gavin and, you know, asking for the information, make sure we're within the budget that we had previously talked to Gavin about. And I have confidence that the fire department will make that equipment work and make it fit, or the maintenance people can also come over maybe to help to make sure it is properly installed and done.
Yeah, and I'm presuming that the 3 or 4 members of your team that looked at this, that the electrical, you know, is all already there, that I wouldn't think any...
To be honest, like I said, was the first time I was hearing of it or seeing it, so I'm not aware what was done or when this was started. Previously, we had discussed doing an ice machine. We did look at a couple options for putting the ice machine out in the bay area, close to where the washer and the sink is now, because it was drained, water supply and electrical area there. There was still some discussion at our couple officers' meetings on what size we needed and what was going to be best served for that. So, yeah, I mean, we did have some discussion on that. When we started the full-time, we talked about the need for a bigger refrigeration space for the different shifts and that. But that was as far as I knew of it. So if it had started previously... I was not part of that or aware of it, so I mean, I can get brought up to speed on this, and I had some questions. I'm not sure why we had to deal with one supplier for all the appliances. That was kind of a question I had.
Well, that was, and since that was a question I had, and Scott has since supplied us with Appliance Center and Home Depot. I know the original thing, everything was Home Depot. Some of the industrial fan, the ice maker, and bottled water cooler weren't available through Appliance Center.
Yeah, I know when we talked about the ice makers, we were looking at some of the restaurant supply companies for the styles, like a hotel-style machine that would produce a larger quantity, be able to fill up coolers once or twice a shift, depending on how that goes. But that was mainly being spearheaded by one of our lieutenants who then resigned off of the department, so it kind of fell a little bit off on the wayside, but was still being looked at, just not actively, I guess, or that I was aware it was actively being looked at.
And Matt made one comment that is concerning to me. The ice maker, I don't know how big you're talking about. You're talking about the kind of thing you see in a hotel where
a hotel or a commercial kitchen we looked at, I mean, some of them that were capable of making, you know, a couple hundred pounds of ice a day.
I'm guessing that would not be appropriate in the Bay Area. It's got to be, I mentioned in the working session, the hot, warm, and cold areas of the fire station, it would have to be in the cold area. It would have to be in the kitchen. It couldn't be in the apparatus bay because the ice would get contaminated with the
diesel fumes or contaminants from the turnout gear after fire.
That was one issue that was brought up when we discussed it as to where we could put it, and then obviously when we talked a little bit more about fire department renovation, building renovation, the idea of finding space in the kitchen, but it would have to have added plumbing work done for drains and water that's not there currently.
Right. We have, I hate to extend this conversation, but I'm going to. We have a township resident, veteran, who owns the ice house at Burn and Glendale. I am sure he would be thrilled to give you coolers of ice regularly. And I shouldn't speak for him, but I'd be happy to ask him. So if we don't get the ice maker, we can solve your ice problem. If it's an issue, and if we need free, and if that's not too far.
Where would you store your ice?
If that's not too far.
We've currently been using the two ice makers that we have here, the one in the fire station kitchen, and then the one in the break room over here. We put a couple of larger plastic bags inside those, so we're periodically dumping ice into the plastic bags so that we have that in times where we've anticipated a big rush or something. I've gone to Sam's Club and for like $2 purchased the big 22-pound bags of ice and brought those in, and we have a freezer. The association bought a freezer when they were doing a lot of the chicken barbecues to freeze their food and stuff. So we put those ice bags in there, and it gets used as needed for our incidents.
Well, keep in mind that we could ask somebody for assistance as well if you need ice.
Yeah. I guess I'm going to ask you a little homework. I'm in favor of this, but I got some questions as far as electrical. You know, I don't know this commercial refrigerator in here. Is that, I'm presuming it's 110, but I don't know if it's 220.
I can research it and find out.
Following up on Harold's comments, if it would need to be in the kitchen, you know, what does that plumbing look like? And is the ice maker in here going to meet the needs that you're going to need?
An industrial fan we can do today. That means plugged in and put in the bay area, right?
I'm assuming that's where they would like I know we had talked before about potentially looking to get some sort of ceiling mount fan with now that we got rid of all the fluorescent lights hanging down, because that was nearly impossible to do beforehand. That would be a good aspect to look at something in a more permanent basis like that would be able to circulate both the heat and the cool.
So why spend $544 when you want to do something more permanent? And got it.
That was an idea that was brought up. I mean, I think Trudy, you were over there when you talked about the big warehouse style with some of the.
Those run thousands of dollars. This is a floor fan to get us through the 90-degree heat for $542. You could always put around and sell it probably for $400. I'm saying right now something needs to be put in place at the fire station. And what I would like to propose is to give the fire station a certain budget, have them come back with their wants and needs for the refrigerators in the next meeting, but say that we're going to allot this much money where they feel they should need the improvements in the kitchen or, quote, fans, you know, in the bay areas, and let them come back now that but they have to have our approval.
I think this is in the right range for sure.
Right.
It just has to work.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Let's say we're going to give the budget of X amount of money.
We already did that.
But
you're asking for us to do the same thing
did ask this, but I'm getting a little bit of pushback.
No, My questions are just.
I know. That's why I said he hasn't seen it. So if we say, okay, this is a budget, go get what the firehouse needs for the kitchen and come back.
This is a good budget, Trudy.
Okay, fine.
So I'm comfortable approving up to $18,000 for the attached list. I guess my question is, I don't want to have to get another, if there's going to be another, we got to run a half-inch water line to the ice maker since it needs to be in the
and
cold air.
And make it $20,000.
Or
that way
we need
got
to
anything
run
that needs to be repaired two, or ran.
$220 for the commercial repair.
And we have the guy coming in this week. Chuck just arranged for the...
That's just a contractor, yeah.
Right, but he could look at the kitchen and say, yeah, all this equipment's great.
I think the maintenance department is very well... could be on top of this to make sure everything works. So I'm just saying on what they need for the $20,000 that they know they're going to have the money, and Gavin says it's already been approved, so the only thing I'm saying is let them do their work and let them make sure, and then we've approved it. If it doesn't work, then we'll come back to Matt.
You're making that in the form of a motion?
What would the motion be?
Just improving an up to amount for the attached list of equipment for Captain Bachman's proposal.
Yeah, I would prefer, I can say up to $18,000 or whatever that amount is there for equipment that's necessary, but this list may or may not be valid anymore.
I'm saying up to $20,000 because now Chuck is saying there might be needed to be water lines or plumbing ramp.
That's in the range for sure.
I think they did a nice job on their homework, but the thing is, some of these were on sale. So if they're not on sale now, they might have to go to other avenues or other outlets to acquire the equipment because sale prices only last so long. That's why I'm saying I'm asking for the $20,000 in case some of that equipment is now not on sale. They're going to have to shop other locations besides just Lowe's. So I'm saying up to $20,000. For the fire department to acquire the list that Scott Bachman...
Update their kitchen?
Kitchen and other items.
For the attached list.
For the attached list, because the fan's not going to fit
in
the kitchen.
Is that a motion?
That's a motion. I make a motion to allot up to $20,000 for the attached list signed, submitted by Captain Bachman. Up to $20,000, not to exceed $20,000 for improvement for the kitchen and certain items located that need to be located in the firehouse.
Second.
Seconded by Herschel on the motion to Vickery.
Can there just be a minute of discussion?
Sure.
Do you think that motion is leaving? You mentioned Captain Bachman, you put specific names in. Do you think we're leaving? I should just let it be. Do you think you're stirring the pot more? How does Harold say now, no, we can't get that commercial refrigerator. We have to get this one because it fits and that one doesn't, when you just said Captain Bachelman's list
were two other firefighters.
Well, whoever put this list together, it wasn't Harold, and Harold's in charge of everybody. Matt doesn't even know about it, and he would be next in line.
Okay.
So
I can change it.
I'm very comfortable with saying up to $20,000 to make improvements in the firehouse.
Okay. Fine. We'll keep it nice.
Approved by Harold Grimm.
Okay. We'll keep it nice, short, and sweet. Approved by Harold Grimm.
Okay. I made the motion.
I understand what. We'll get it sorted out.
I will second.
Are you confused now, Kathleen?
Up to $20,000 to make improvements to the fire department as approved by Administrator Grimm.
Perfect, thank you.
That's Barbara's motion, and I'll second it.
Seconded by Vickery. On the motion, Vickery.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
Ryan.
Yes.
Right.
Good luck, guys. I tried.
All right. Any other new business items?
You would have said it at the beginning, Chuck.
All right, Harold, do you want to talk about?
Have a couple items. We talked last couple meetings about our contract for trash services, and Jim Shaw is currently in discussions with Republic Services in that regard. And we talked about increasing our user fee that we currently put on the tax certificate for residents to pay their share of the cost. And I provided a little worksheet. I think Gavin was going to take a look at this as well. I haven't seen his numbers. But I provided a worksheet that would cover any anticipated increases over the next 5 years.
And I guess if it's terribly wrong, since we don't have a new contract, we can adjust next year.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
So the township's assessment per household is going up $1.12 per month.
It would go from $98.88 annually to $112.30
Yeah, so the increase of $13.42 is $1.12 per month, which is I think very reasonable.
Yep.
And the total annually is $112.30
Correct.
I move to request the Lucas County Commissioners as Board of Directors of the Lucas County Solid Waste Management District to establish a user charge for residential refuge collection and recycling services in Monclova Township at $112.30 annually for 5 years, and to proceed with certification of charges placement on the tax duplicates to the residential properties served thereto.
You mean to say 32 cents?
32 cents, yeah.
Yeah, I sure did. Because it wasn't in front of me, and I said it once, and I didn't remember it. Sorry, Kathleen.
So you want to amend it to
it? Yeah, I amended it.
All right.
So it's 112,
32. She's amending it to 32.
Oh, okay.
Is that what you said?
No.
I had it right?
No, you said 30. It's 32.
He has it two different. You have it two different ways, Harold.
Here on the contract, it says 30 and
right there.
32.
Oh.
So I said it right. Dang. Which one is it, Harold?
Right there, 112.32.
Oh, I'm sorry. Either works. Either works.
We amended it to 32, Kathleen.
Second.
Seconded by Herschel. On the motion, Lang.
Yes.
Vickery.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
Okay,
we have enough discussion, Harold. You can't add to our discussion.
I want it to be $112.33. So you can't divide it by two and have a six-month. Okay, my apologies. The only other action item I have this evening... over a year ago, we agreed to participate in the cost of construction of the roundabout at Monclova Road and Waterville Monclova Road. That construction is planned for 2026. But as the county engineer prepares to move into the right-of-way acquisition and design phase of the project, we're being asked to sign a joint cooperation agreement. So I have a resolution approving that agreement, and I have the signature page of the agreement.
I move to approve resolution 06052023-01, approving a joint cooperation agreement at the Monclova Road at Waterville Monclova Road roundabout project between the Board of Monclova Township Trustees and Lucas County.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery. On the motion, Herschel.
Yes.
Vickery.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes.
Just one copy, Harold.
Yes, just one copy. Everything digital. I'll scan it and email it to them tomorrow. And that's it, unless you have questions about any other rest of my memo.
No, Harold, just for the public who may be in attendance or watching, we have, you received 21 applications for the fire chief, and your committee is meeting next week to begin the screening process.
Correct.
So we continue to make progress there. All right, that concludes our agenda. Is there any questions, comments, concerns? We're getting any agenda items for any members of our audience tonight.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
Seconded by Herschel on the motion. Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.